Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-fi and Scream, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to another episode of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. A big thanks to the guys from White Noise. Cheers to Keza and TJ. They'll be on again same time and next week. And that lovely piece of music with intro was, of course, from the film Serenity, Joss Whedon's sci-fi film classic from 2005. Yes, and that's what the show is about this evening. It's about a journey into the Veddenverse. I've said Veddenverse. Weddenverse. But mainly we're actually be shining a bright light onto Serenity the movie and Firefly as well, the TV series that preempted Serenity. So going to look at Can't Stop the Serenity, or CSTS, the event that makes a global effort to fund and support female-based charities like Equality Now. And I have in the Melbourne studio here at Joy 94.9, the Melbourne Browncoats. Representing them is Jen. Welcome.
Welcome, thank you.
Thank you. I'll turn your microphone up there for you. You've got a nice soft voice. And Julia's here as well. Welcome.
Hi, Sonia.
You've got a good radio voice. Not saying you don't, Jen. I'm just saying.
I'll get into it, don't worry.
So it's great to have you lovely ladies here this evening on the show. Yes, that piece of music was just the intro to Serenity. What I'm going to ask tonight is, can geeks save the world? And what's the Weddenverse place in that world? And is it a possibility to make the world a better place? Now, my guests, Jen and Julia, like I said, are from the Melbourne Browncoat. What do you call your pocket? A organisation?
We are a non-profit organisation.
Yes.
And we're generally a bit of a loose affiliation across the globe. So Browncoats are named after the independents in the Serenity universe. Those who don't so much like to play the game the way the authorities tell us to. But we have hearts of gold, of course.
Of course, yes. So what is Can't Stop the Serenity for the uninitiated, those who don't know?
For Julia. The uninitiated, every year the Browncoats across the world show Serenity as a fundraiser, mainly for Equality Now, also for a local charity of their choosing, but the majority of the Can't Stop the Serenity fundraising will go to Equality Now.
And it's a really unique opportunity to indulge, I think, the geeky side as well, because it's a sci-fi film, let's face it, and you watch it again and again. How many times now?
I'd seen it 12 times before it had been released in theatres.
Wow, okay.
So, a bit obsessive.
And Julia, how obsessed are you?
I actually don't know. I probably haven't seen it as much as I should, actually. This will actually be my first Can't Stop the Serenity. I was with the Browncoats last year and did a lot of work towards it and then got sick and didn't make
Perils of events in winter.
Oh, yes.
And it's the flu season.
Now, I noticed that what Joss says about some of the reasons, some of the things that he supports, Equality Now is one of the group. Can you tell us about some of the different charities? Is Equality Now, what do they do? What do they represent?
Equality Now actually promote and protect women and women and girls' human rights around mm-hmm. the world. They're similar to Amnesty International in that they do this by documenting discrimination and violence against women and then mobilising international support to help stop these abuses.
They also fund a lot of grassroots organisations in developing worlds, in different countries, to actually get the people on the ground doing the work for them.
Oh, okay.
So they actually support those people to enable and empower themselves.
And they do this through the Women's Action Network, which actually has, I believe, 35,000 different groups affiliated with it.
That's massive.
Yeah.
That is massive. I'll have to put those on the Facebook a bit later. We have got you guys on Facebook at the moment, the Sci-Fi and Scream one, so you can go to Facebook and just obviously put in Sci-Fi and Squeam, and it'll come up eventually. But you can also contact us if you'd like to ask some questions to the ladies here tonight. Jen and Julie, I'm sure we'll be able to field a few.
We've been invited.
Yes, we've put the call out on the Melbourne Browncoats Twitter. So it's at Melbourne Browncoats, or actually it's at MELB Browncoats.
Cool.
So hopefully that should come in if anyone twitters us.
And you've got a Facebook page too, yeah?
We do have a Facebook. We have Facebook, we have Flickr, we have Twitter, we have MySpace, we have the whole gambit.
Tumblr?
I don't think we've got Tumblr.
No,
add that to the list.
Yeah,
that
was already on the list.
To the wish list, yes. So worthy causes. Now, I did ask you before we went to air how many Can't Stop the Serenity groups do you think there are worldwide now?
Well, this year we have over 50 events globally in 8 countries. Wow. So going from the US to Canada to Spain, the UK, Australia. Previously we've had New Zealand, Hungary, Germany, all sorts of different places.
This year they're also going to Ireland.
You guys need to get a junket? And go cruising.
I have done a junket once. It was awesome. 7 CSTS events in one hit. It was fantastic. Best holiday ever.
Boy. So you watched it 7 times? Serenity?
I spent most of the time hanging out with the people who were running the events behind the scenes to get ideas for our event.
But that's why our events are so good now, because Jen's sort of seen how to do it and not to do it.
And there's a group in Perth too, is that right?
There is. It's actually, I suppose it's a group is probably a bit of a misnomer, because a lot of these events are actually run by one or two people who get an idea in their head that their city doesn't have one of these events. They'd love to put one on. They grab a couple of friends, their friends grab some friends, and thus an event is born.
And that's good in a way that, and a lot of people don't realise, you actually don't have to be part of a formal Browncoat group to run a CSTS. You basically go through a registration process on the Can't Stop the Serenity website, and pretty much anyone can do it.
Question: where does the word Browncoats? I should have asked you that at the beginning.
Browncoats are named after the independents. There was if you've seen Firefly, you may know Mal and Zoe were both browncoats.
Wearing a brown coat?
Well, the uniform was a brown coat, and thus they got their name.
Oh, right.
They could have been the purple coats or the slightly orange-vested people, but thankfully they had some pretty classy fashion taste, so they went with the brown coat.
Yeah, tweed coats wouldn't work. That's a bit Doctor Who.
No, the tweed coats is a bit wrong.
Isn't it?
It's very Doctor Who.
Now, on a more personal level, before we go to some very interesting music that you've brought in tonight, what is it that attracted either of you, both of you, to this cause? Why do it?
I was actually excited to discover there were Melbourne Browncoats. I was at Continuum Convention a couple of years ago, and the Browncoats had a table. And being a huge fan of Firefly, I went, oh,
that's
awesome.
It for me.
And I was just, well, how can I help? I want to get involved.
Yep.
And that came. And so I spoke to Jen, and I've been working with them ever since.
And you like the colour brown, obviously. I mean,
it's a very Melbourne colour,
isn't it?
It's the new black.
Well, you know, I am a Hawthorn fan,
here we go.
Brown
Sports.
And gold. Yeah,
see, you've lost me.
Yeah, see, very ungeek of me. I'm actually a football fan.
Ooh.
Well, that's the interesting thing about Browncoats. Browncoats don't necessarily tend to be your typical geek. They're not. You can't really pigeonhole them. We've got a lot of people who like sports. I was actually talking to one Browncoat who just admitted he was a Browncoat, who tends to hide his geekiness behind the fact that he knows how to do cars. So he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm a geek. I can't be a geek and also like cars. And we had to explain to him that it's totally fine to do both.
It doesn't throw a spanner in the works, does it?
It does not. And every Browncoat group needs a mechanic.
Diversity.
Well, you know, there's Kaylee.
He is our Kaylee. He may not like to know that, but he is our Kaylee.
Okay, Jen, why for you?
Well, I've been sort of volunteering is something I was born and bred to do. I've been doing that since I was young. But it was a good opportunity, I thought, I suppose, turn something that I was passionate about, Joss Whedon's shows, into something positive. I'd seen the example of people in the States who'd been doing the same when I was living over there. And I just thought, wouldn't that be a fantastic thing to bring back to Australia, to actually have a Joss Whedon fan group? Because you've seen other fan groups around, and I thought it's time Joss had one. So a lot of other people have been involved in getting us as far as we've gotten, and we're really excited that we're actually still here.
Mm.
And that we're also now an official non-profit.
Yes,
that's right.
That's exciting news.
That's very exciting.
You'll have
news.
To tell me a little bit later, how easy or difficult was that?
It was not hard.
It wasn't hard.
It was just a lot of paperwork.
And delegation.
Right, that's where Julia comes in.
No, luckily we have a...
We delegated to other people.
Luckily, we are very lucky with the Melbourne Browncoats. We have a fabulous group of committee who are all absolutely dedicated to getting us going. And so through everybody's very hard work, we are now an official Incorporated company.
So is that like a trust or a charitable trust? What defines that?
It's classed as a non-profit organisation.
Good.
It basically just means that we can accept donations on behalf of charities. We've got, you know, a bit of, I suppose, authenticity behind us, and we're not just a ragtag little bunch of guys hanging around raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity anymore. We're now an official non-profit raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity.
And that's probably something we did forget to mention when Sonia asked us about Can't Stop the Serenity.
That's true.
In 5 years, we raised over, well, worldwide in 5 years, there was over $500,000 raised for Equality Now.
Yes, I put that on my Facebook, like a manic thing that I am, about four times. I thought, surely, that's exciting. I mean, it is when you look at the web page and it has that big number in blue, not in brown, but in blue lettering.
We're not all about brown. We do like other colours.
Brown's okay, if you're brown, stick around. As I used to say in New Zealand, but I think that's a remarkable achievement. It's great, and that you don't hear as much as you should, I think, of organisations like yourselves.
That's true. And I think one of the really inspiring things about that was the way Can't Stop Serenity started was one person deciding, wouldn't it be nice? They wanted to see Serenity again once it had gone out of cinemas. They wanted to figure out how they could do it. Thought, you know what, I'm going to organise a local theatre in Portland and put the show on. And then other people stuck their hands up, and in that first year, $65,000 was raised, and the number's just been going up ever since. So yes, last year we hit our $500,000 for Equality Now.
This is Portland, Oregon.
This is Portland, Oregon.
Love that place. Never been there, but you know, it's famous. It's where the Wild West
It is the Wild
originally.
West.
The Wild Frontier.
And they're all still a bit wild.
Well, and I think it's still an amazing thing that a volunteer-based event has been going. We're now in its sixth year. And it's all volunteer run. We get the occasional encouragement from Joss Whedon, who goes, go guys, you're doing good. But apart from that, it is people basically picking up the ball and going, we're going to do this. Mm. And have kept doing it year after year after year. Because I think Melbourne is one of maybe five or...
Have you been going for the full 6 years in Melbourne?
Yep. Our first event here was in 2006. We had a very, very dedicated guy, Ian Morgan, who was running them back then. He just got off on his bat and said, you know what, I want to bring one of these to Melbourne. Yeah. Let's go do it.
Cool. And he had a big projector screen, did he?
I think he rented a theatre somewhere. He was out at one of the cinema chains. He was able to get them to give him some space for his first event. We've been inspired by that ever since.
I'm going to chat with you more in a second. This is Sonia with Jen and Julia talking all things, brown coats at the moment, on Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9.
Hello, friends. Don't you want to meet a nice girl?
I know a place where the gamer scores are so extreme.
Boop, boop, boop.
Dune, D&D, where Randall Thor still reigns supreme. Questing in Hyrule, dominating Final Fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven,
Siente.
Boys losing sleep, trying to keep up with our lead speed.
What up, noob?
Got the mail away. Oh, 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 oh.
Hogwarts boys all make them swoon. Aragorn, Legolas, these are the boys they love the best. I mean, they're good to go. Love sci-fi, yo. Marvel, DC, Vertigo. The girls are sweet, they can't be beat. Super fine like Peach, Darth Maul, standing tall. He's so bad, so say we all. Epic loot for the win. Hajo's what we're raiding in. Hag source, Konami code, Doctor Who, expert mode. Game genies, wild fiendies, sick meanies, no weenies. Don't forget they're the queenies. Gamer ladies,
yeah.
Raiding tonight, baby.
Uh-huh.
I'm all up on you, cause you represent geeks and gamers.
Hi, I'm Dilip Rao, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Get it.
Get it indeed. This is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Squeam, of course, and we're here with two representatives from Melbourne Browncoats tonight. Jen and Julia, still, you haven't gone away.
No, we haven't fallen into the black just yet.
No. Now, that, tell me about that piece of music, that delightful piece of cheerful music.
That was Geek and Gamer Girls, done by Team Unicorn for the Win, which is a fantastic group of girls out of LA. Some of them are, you would have heard the Welcome by Seth Green, who you might know from Robot Chicken and from Buffy. There is an awesome video clip that goes with it that features quite a number of stars of sci-fi that you may recognise.
Oh, so they do these like these cameos. Like
they do. You will see Katie Sackhoff, for instance.
Right. Has she been in any Whedon films? Or
she has. She's not been in any Whedon films, but she is keen to be in Whedon films.
Oh,
she's a fan.
Because, of course, Serenity is his debut film, directing.
It is his directorial debut on the big screen, correct?
And I always thought that was weird because, to me, it feels like he's been directing films. It's strange that he stuck with television for so long.
Well, I think what you find that I think is quite wonderful about Joss's work is that he actually takes a cinematic approach to TV, which a lot of people hadn't done prior to that. So every episode of one of his shows, be it Buffy or Angel or Firefly, is actually scripted and filmed and done as a piece of, top shelf cinema.
It is. Okay. Serenity, can you tell us a little bit about the premise of the movie, I guess without too many spoilers? Because you were saying before that there are people that haven't actually seen it and do come along to the functions, the events.
That's true.
There are. As surprising as it is, there's still people that are just finding out about Firefly.
So Serenity is actually the follow-up movie to the short-lived but much-loved series Firefly, which centres around a group of people who've found themselves out on the raggedy edge of space, not so keen on being part of the mainstream, who are just trying to eke out a living by whatever means possible, be it blackmail, smuggling, or a small crime.
And Serenity continues on, I think, is it a year or it's a
12 months
year?
After the
12
series.
12 months after the series.
They're on the run. They're on the run from the Alliance, and as they're on the run, they discover a bit of a secret which may or may not change the world, depending on how you view it.
Ooh.
So they need to figure out how best to spread some fairly bad news out there to help save quite a number of people.
And it is one of the questions you were left with when Firefly finished, or was early terminated.
Yes,
very sad about that.
So, yes, it is a rock and roll and sci-fi good time. So if you haven't seen it before, if you haven't checked out Firefly, it's widely available on DVD, and you should come along to our event on Saturday and see the movie in its big screen glory.
Ooh.
And we should say, if you haven't seen Firefly, it does not detract from your enjoyment of Serenity.
Certainly
I know
does
a
not.
Lot of people who saw Serenity when it first came out in the movies and didn't know about Firefly and then went back and loved
Firefly
even more.
I was one of those
more.
People. I was intrigued and I thought, oh, there's a series. I must get it. It was hard to find, but I did find it eventually. Yeah, no, really enjoyed it. I guess that's one of the questions I've got is just the outside of the series, not about the content so much, but the controversy surrounding its demise. What do you know about that?
Well, Firefly got the big axe of doom from Fox back in 2004. It was a surprise to a lot of people, but there are some pretty valid reasons behind it. TV back then wasn't the same as TV now. Sci-fi was not as easily accessible or as well appreciated by mainstream audiences.
Steam-powered?
It wasn't quite steam-powered, but it was certainly... It was understood to be the realm of people who lived in basements and played Dungeons and Dragons all day and didn't actually speak to real people. So
not real people.
No, but now stations in the US have picked up a lot more sci-fi. It's got a lot more mainstream now.
But also, in a way, Firefly wasn't traditional sci-fi in the fact, yes, it was set in space, but it's also a space western, so it incorporated a lot more of that genre.
And there was a distinct lack of aliens for sci-fi.
Yeah. Yes.
People who love sci-fi, whether they saw it... I mean, it's good television. Basically, it comes down to that. But probably it wouldn't have picked up a lot of people because it just didn't look like a sci-fi TV series.
And it had a very interesting marketing technique at the time too, which certainly was not giving it any credit. It got the proper shuffle around the stations. I think the viewers at the time actually spent quite a lot of time trying to chase it around the schedule.
It had 4 million viewers only, apparently, in the US.
Yes,
which is
it's very hard to get viewers when you can't actually figure out what time it's on.
And then it does help. And then you play the episodes in the wrong order, so you really have no idea what's going on.
Yes.
What's going on there?
So thankfully, though, the studio saw the wisdom of fan pressure and did actually release it on DVD. It got a new lease of life and became one of their top-selling DVDs.
I believe so. It moved a lot of units.
Universal green lighting it, we got the movie.
Now I've got some music I want to play next regarding the series, actually. It's the intro to Firefly, that wonderful series, and we'll talk a bit more about that and Serenity in a moment. This is Sonia on Sci-Fi and Squeam with Julia and Jen here as my special guests doing Serenity and Firefly on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Scott Rosenberg, creator of Cowboys and Aliens on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Paul Cornell on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Here we are again. This is Sonia, Sci-Fi and Squeam, of course, in case you forgot what the name of the show was. Jen and Julia, tell us about these blokes. I just played Bedlam Bards doing the song Leaf on the Wind, which is a tribute to the life and death, apparently, of the character.
Spoilers!
Oh. Ah, but I didn't say it. I didn't quite say his name. Thanks for catching me.
Oh, now you've said it's a he.
Oh, okay.
Well, see, now you'll have to come along and find out who it is.
Yeah, Jen...
Yes.
Maybe I did that deliberately.
There you go.
It was a very good cover, yes. Very very deliberately. Nicely done.
Oh, okay. I'm worried now. Give me threatening looks. Tell me about these guys. They sound fascinating.
Yeah, the Bedlam Bards are an interesting group. They've come through the Renaissance Fair folk tradition, and they apparently were chatting one day and were at a Ren Fair playing their normal folk music and thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we wrote a Firefly song? And that evolved into a Firefly dedicated album.
Goodness.
Which has then evolved into multiple albums.
And I believe they've also done a Joss Whedon version of The Hero of Canton, which is the famous song from the Janestown episode
of Firefly. Yes,
of Firefly. And instead of singing Jane's praises, the Bedlam Bards actually sing Joss Whedon's praises.
Now, very rubbing feet. I was going to say something else, but then I don't know what is. But they are excellent. It's kind of, it reminds me a little bit about sort of pre-steampunk sort of sound, a little bit.
Yeah, it's that slightly western, you know, banjos and fiddles type of music.
I expect to hear guns firing in the background, actually.
I think they may have had to edit those out.
What I'm going to play very soon is an interview I had back a couple of weekends ago with a lovely young woman called Emma Beddoes. And it's not so much about Serenity, of course, but she's a big fan of the Vedenverse. I keep saying Veden.
I think that's a new word. Nathan Fillion coined Flan, an interviewer from Fluff, so I think you can totally have the Vedenverse.
I've got to stop that now. So, yes, she's chatting about what she does at Swinburne University, and this was held at Monash, the Clayton campus of Monash University a couple of weekends ago. Tights and Tiaras. I don't know if you guys heard of that.
I did hear of that. That seemed like a lot of fun.
It was. A lot of talking, a lot of fun. Fascinating people, great speakers, and very smart people.
There are lots of very smart people at Monash.
Yes, there was. Yeah, the room was buzzing. housing. It's lovely. It was at the Japanese part of the uni there, so it was all very zen.
Very nice.
It must have changed since I was there then, because I did Japanese at Monash Clayton. And
not so much zen?
Not so much zen, just in the old wing wing.
Oh. All right. Well, let's have a listen to that. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. This is Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and we're here outside in the beautiful Japanese garden, the Clayton campus of Monash University, for Tights and Tiaras. And I'm speaking to Emma Beddoes. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Hi, thank you.
And Emma was talking about Buffy. Okay, Joss Whedon's Buffy. Well, first of all, you're from Swinburne University of Technology. What do you do there?
Yeah, so I'm a PhD candidate at Swinburne University in Hawthorne. I'm writing my thesis on what kind of media users consume transmedially, and specifically how and why they do that. So a part of my research is looking at why fans of Buffy follow her across multiple platforms, and how the narrative has spread from the TV series to the comic book form, what it is that people like about that, what works, what doesn't, and what really drives them to follow her across platforms.
Okay, so for the uninitiated and totally ignorant, can you explain just briefly what you mean by these multi-layered, multi-platforms?
Yeah, so I would say transmedia storytelling is a field that's under constant debate. People are debating what transmedia storytelling is. The way that I look at it, it's a certain kind of logic of storytelling based on continuity. So transmedia can also be based on multiplicity, but what I'm looking at with the Buffy text is this continuity of narrative. So it's when the series actually extends into another platform rather than simply being adapted into another platform or replicated. So in this case, as I'm sure most Buffy fans know, there is the Angel series, which extends the narrative branching to the side, and then there's the comic books, which actually extend outwards season 8, and Joss Whedon's recently announced season 9 will be written in comic book form as well, as well as the new Angel and Faith comic book series, which exists within that universe also. So that's sort of what I'm looking at, is that continuity across platforms.
And today you were talking about that. Is it convergence?
Today what I was looking at was one of the tentative themes that I found from my interview data, which is basically about what links these dispersed semiotic contexts. So what is it that can grow and evolve from the TV series to the comic book form? And one of the things that I found is that the characters themselves, so Buffy specifically and the characters around her, are actually more important than the spaces they inhabit or the story world or in some cases the actual narrative. So fans were indicating as long as those characters were the same characters that they knew and loved for particular reasons, then that was what was important in moving them across platforms.
With our show, it's about, we like to look at LGBTIQ themes, if possible. From what knowledge you have, how do you see portrayal of gay and lesbian, and are there trans characters in the comic series? Is that something that's expanding?
I guess the most obvious thing to think about is Willow's emerging sexuality throughout the TV series and the relationship that she has with Tara and realising, you know, that she is a lesbian. And I think just looking back at my own research in those characters being the important component in moving the narrative across platforms, I think that all ties into it. So being able to express different forms of sexuality and strong and unique character growth, fans are obviously saying that this is important to them. That's one of the things that they love about Buffy. And I think, you know, that's what they like about the transition to the comic book form, and Buffy also in comic book form, you know, experiments with, you know, sort of lesbian sexual liaisons in that text. So it's something that I think the series as a whole has really embraced, and I think it's been really positive, and I think, you know, fans have really liked that. They've reacted really positively to it, and, you know, they like the characters for the way that they grow.
Whedon fans, I suppose, are probably some of the most open-minded individuals you can get in a sort of a group. We've got Can't Stop the Serenity on very shortly on the show, and of course to do with that side of things in respect to women's rights and his charity and that sort of awareness. What do you think of that? Is there anything similar to that in, I guess, the Buffyverse?
Not that I'm familiar with, but I mean, I think it's fantastic that Joss Whedon is sort of getting behind these kinds of issues. It's obviously something that's very important to him. Interestingly, one of the issues that's been raised at this conference is the idea of a white male speaking for women through the text that he writes, speaking, you know, for women's rights. But I suppose part of this idea of feminism is that you don't need to be female to be a feminist. So I think it's fantastic what he's doing. And And it just speaks to the fact that, as you said, Buffy is about embracing all different kinds of... It embraces men and women, a range of different, you know, sexualities, and that's one of the things that's wonderful about it. And I think it's great that that's, you know, he's been able to use that element of his narratives to kind of, you know, have some kind of real-world effect or, you know, implication, you know, use that fandom behind his TV series to support something that's been an important, you know, theme that's run throughout his narratives.
True.
I think it's great, yeah. Mm. I'm probably going to come off as very fangirlish now when I start to talk about
that's totally fine.
What I love about Buffy, but, I mean, I love Buffy. She's just a fantastic, strong character. I love the fact that she's... You know, she can be quite feminine and strong at the same time. Those traits don't have to necessarily be dichotomous. She can kind of embody both of those things at once. She's very caring for her friends, but at the same time, you know, she can slay any demon or vampire that comes her way. I also love the fact that the Buffy series, and I know a lot of people have reflected on this, but it reflects the everyday struggles that lots of people go through. So with, you know, Buffy's mum dying, it touches on this issue of grief and loss and family, and also, you know, Willow's emerging sexuality. It's a really nice way of looking at how, you know, young people at a certain age go through this process of, you know, finding out their identity and who they are. And it just creates a really nice environment to explore those issues and look at how people can work through issues and it can work out at the end and they can come to a positive outcome at the end of that. So the monsters they fight are actually not that important. It's more about the relationships between the characters and how they grow together and, you know, that dynamic. It's just fantastic. Yeah. And as a woman, as a human, I just love it. It's great.
Thank you so much for talking to us today on Sci-Fi and Squeam. I really appreciate your time, Emma, and all the best.
No worries. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Tom O'Panikid, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Here on Sci-Fi and Squeam, that was my interview with Emma Beddoes a couple of weeks ago, and that was back through Monash, and she's one of the academics who presented her knowledge and work that she does on platforms. I didn't even know what she was talking about to begin with. And the Buffyverse, of course, she studies at Swinburne, like I mentioned, and her thesis is on how media users engage with commercial transmedia texts, including things like comics, of course. Once she said the word comics, I was okay with that. I could get what she was talking about, platforms. It's like, wow, yeah, okay. I was nodding my head, looking, trying to look really smart.
You need a lot of...
Yeah, but it is a meme.
It is.
I had to use that because before we were talking about, how do you say meme? And I said...
I thought it was meme.
Meme. No, that's memo. All right. Now, we were talking about... off air, we were talking about Joss, well, actually Emma was, about Joss being a feminist. Why do you think that is? And you were indicating that his background may have something to do with it, people in his life.
That's true. So from what we understand of from interviews and from I was lucky enough to have a quick chat with Joss a few years ago, his mother is actually a huge feminist. She's inspired vast numbers of students as a teacher, and one of those students was actually Jessica Newirth, who, based on her teachings and her inspirational character, she went on to actually start Equality Now, which is one of the reasons why Joss is tied so closely to that charity, because he has a lot of appreciation for the work that Jessica's carried out in his late mother's name.
Right. Oh, so she's no longer around?
Sadly, no.
Sad. That's very sad. And yeah, it looks like there's a history of strong women in his family.
That is definitely true. He was actually raised by his mother, so he's she's a huge influence on him.
Okay. So what is the appeal? I mean, Julia, what do you think is the appeal of what Joss does, Firefly, Serenity? Why do you think it reaches to people?
I think it's found family. Whether you're looking at Firefly, which is the crew on Serenity, or Buffy and the Scooby Gang.
Or even Avengers, or Angel. Team Angel.
Team Angel. Team Angel.
Yeah.
It's all about the family that you find and you surround yourself with. And it's about people. It's also about people, I think, on the fringe. I mean, yes, Buffy started off as a popular cheerleader before she came into her Slayer powers. But once she moved to Sunnydale, she was on the fringe with Willow and Xander. And moving on to Firefly, the whole Serenity crew is on the fringe. One, because they're brown coats who lost the war, and also because they are harbouring two fugitives that the Alliance, which is the Firefly-verse government, they desperately want back, and they're basically on the run. So for me, it's all about people on the edge and found family.
And life good. Happens on the rim.
And life happens on the rim.
La Frontier. No, it's like the outsiders are now the insiders. I think I heard him say that.
Yes, it's very
once
true.
Upon a time, yes. It was made in 2005, and since then, it's amassed quite significant some awards. I just have a list here of some of the things that it has, won, I guess, or been honoured. And it has won things, for example, the Nebula Award for Best Script back in 2005. Rotten Tomatoes claims it is probably one of the best films of, or sci-fi films of 2005, and it won a Spacey Award. I don't know what that is.
The Spacey Awards are the Canadian version of the Logies.
Ah, right. It's got to be good.
It's got to be good if it gets one of those.
Better. And it won a 2006 Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation in Long Form. I love the way the Hugos do that. Long Form, Short Form, novellas.
And of course, the Hugos were just on this weekend.
That's, wow, that's
in,
true.
Over in Reno, Nevada, Worldcon was on.
Yeah, very dry out there, I hear. What else? Prometheus Special Award in 2006. IGN's films Best Sci-Fi and Best Story and Best Trailer. That's interesting. People win trailers these days. Well, they don't win trailers. I mean, they win awards for trailers.
You direct trailers. They're a piece of directorial art nowadays.
That's right. Now, favourite characters. You've got to pick one.
Oh,
both of you. Is it hard?
One is hard.
There's some obvious ones, because everyone's a big fan of Captain Mal. So Nathan Fillion, he's a bit of all right.
Yes. And?
See, the question you really need to ask is, which character are you?
Well, that's a bit tricky, because I think most people are a little bit of everything. They've got a bit of the warrior, they've got a bit of the mercenary, a little bit of the handy gal, a little bit of leadership.
Not enough of the handy
not
gal.
Not quite sure what you get out of Simon, but I'm sure everyone knows first aid.
I think he's the, what do you call it? He's the sort of...
He's the underdog.
Yeah, he's the real outsider of the outsiders, I think.
He is, because I suppose he's the one who's the most like the mainstream. So he's a mainstream guy who's found himself by accident almost on the edge trying to survive.
All because of that damn sister of his.
Yeah, his pesky, crazy sister.
But she's wonderful. Summer Glau, I think she's probably one of my favourite, just for her nubileness and flexibility. But if you haven't seen the film, you know what I'm talking about on the weekend, if you go and see it.
She makes fighting a dance art.
She does. It's awesome. Where do you think this is all going to lead? Can't Stop the Serenity. Will it keep on going?
I think so. It will certainly keep on. It will keep on going as long as there is a reason for us to keep trying to raise money for Equality Now. So next year, I think, is actually the 20th anniversary of Equality Now.
Yeah, next year's going to be big with the 20th anniversary of Equality Now, and also it's the 10th anniversary of Firefly.
So we will definitely be back next year. And we are now in our sixth year, and we're most certainly aiming to have our 10th anniversary of Absolutely. Can't Stop Serenity. So Melbourne Browncoats, we will be around for a while.
Well, pretty much, as long as you and I and the rest of the... And Leanne and Michael and Mick and Liam... As long as the six
survive.
As long as the six of us want to keep seeing Serenity, I think we'd put it on whether it's in someone's backyard.
Yeah, we'll just keep it out there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's also the other great thing about Can't Stop the Serenity is it doesn't have to be a big screening that actually costs quite a bit to hire the venue and that. Can't Stop the Serenity also has affiliate events, which is basically you can have a small party, a costume party, for example, just last weekend in Beeston in the UK. Somebody had their wedding reception as a Can't Stop the Serenity event. So I think that's the first one that's ever been done.
That's cool. True.
I've seen a bit of photos and footage from that, and it was a costume party, so everyone was encouraged, and basically all gifts to the bride and groom were meant to be donations to Equality Now.
So this would be the first time a wedding dress is brown.
Actually, well, it was maybe.
She did have. She's a bit off centre, left of centre bride. So she had a lovely red gown. She did not go with the whole white thing.
Oh, very good.
Although I have to say, I think the official ceremony was on the day before, and they did another ceremony at
the
reception.
Keep the parents happy.
I think it might have been.
Bit of traditional, then a bit of fun.
Yeah, and a whole lot of strangers coming to your reception, because it was basically an open invite.
On Facebook.
through Can't Stop the Serenity and Twitter. Right. So it was an official sanctioned Can't Stop the Serenity event.
Now that brings me to, wouldn't it be great to have, once we do have same-sex marriage as legal and binding. Maybe there can be a serenity same-sex marriage one day.
That would be fun.
Well, there are certainly a lot of brown coats in New York who are a bit excited at the moment, so yes. I can see that coming.
Do they have one there? Obviously they do.
They do have the brown coats of New York City.
Where do they play their film, I wonder?
I believe there's a rooftop bar that they have a familiar with.
That sounds very enticing.
I think there was a couple in New York this year. There's one in Syracuse.
Yeah, there's one in Syracuse, New York State. There's one in Rhode Island. There's quite a few.
Very good. And the big question is, why do you think geeks or outsiders or fringe dwellers or whatever you call yourselves, ourselves, people who love sci-fi and Whedon, why do you think they care? Why is there that passion for compassion and philanthropy?
I think there's actually, I think the brown coats for some reason have taken activism to a level that a lot of other fandoms haven't, and I think that might be because they fought so hard when Firefly was originally cancelled.
Yeah,
that built a very strong online community, and the thing to okay, we can go out, we can make a difference, we can do this. And also, I think there are themes running through Firefly that you do care, and there's a couple of quotes, and it's I may not do the smart thing, but I'll do the right thing. And I think a lot of that has come through in brown coat sort of culture and philosophy.
Yeah, there's certainly a big sense of helping the little guy. You know, you might not have a lot, but what you've got, you can help someone else with. Mm. And with the passion that Browncoats put into, you know, all the various Revive Firefly campaigns and Let's Get Ourselves Some DVD campaigns, what people realise is that you know, if they can gather 100,000 fans online to buy DVDs for the troops, then why couldn't they get 100,000 fans online to help a charity or help a school?
Exactly.
Mm. And there's actually quite a lot of charity that's come out of the Firefly, Buffy, Whedonverse. I think someone did a tally last year. $7 million has been raised for charities through the works of back in the days of the Buffy and the Bronze, all the way through to now. So it's a huge group of people who basically have decided, I have a passion for something, I have the energy for something, but I don't just want to sit at home and watch my television and keep that passion very insular. I actually want to, you know, bring that out into the world and do some good with that passion, turn that passion for my television into a force for good.
What a lot of the formalized brown coats actually do. Can't that stop the Serenity is only a part of what they do during the year. Most of the groups either do fundraising or will actually go out and do volunteer work throughout the year. So, like, for instance, Melbourne Browncoats, not only do we raise money for Equality Now, but we raised money for Australian Red Cross this year, I believe we decided.
Yep, we have conventions. We go to conventions and sell merchandise and raffles, and we have a lot of social events during the year as well. And we usually try to give something back at that time. So we certainly dug deep around for the Christchurch appeal for the floods.
Yep.
And we usually pick a charity every year, let our members choose. And that's where our energy goes.
Gosh, you guys, I'm going to crawl under the desk now. I'm not worthy. No, it's brilliant.
Everybody is worthy.
What you're doing.
Every little bit helps.
It does. It's a cliche, but it's true.
It is.
It is true.
See, and if you come along on Saturday, you will be helping.
Well, I went last year, I think. Yes, I did. I had to think about that for a second. It's gone so fast.
You were there last year.
I was there somewhere in the flesh. But this year, actually, which brings me to wrapping up for the evening, which is sad but true, and that is I'll be at Manifest next week. Yes. Sorry
about
You're
not that. Coming to... Well, let's bear in mind, Manifest goes for 2 days. We're just a little bit of that
right.
2 days. We run from 3:30 until about 8 Saturday.
Doors open at 3, but you can get there at 4. We should just be selling.
Well, the raffle is tempting. It's tempting.
Oh, you should see some of the auction items. If you go to our website, newmelbournebrowncoats.com, we have items signed by Joss Whedon, items signed by Summer Glau.
Well, brilliant. I will... make an attempt.
You will make an attempt. If I have to come around to your house and drag you along, you'll
Well, no,
there.
You'll have to go to Manifest and drag her out.
I will go that to Manifest and drag her and 400 other people with her.
I'll be the only person not in cos at Manifest, probably. Now, we're going to have to wrap it up. Sad but true. And tonight, dear listener, for those who are listening, we ask, can geeks save the world? And I think, yes, it seems they probably can. And many thanks to Jen and Julia for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
It's been brilliant. And we will put this on podcast and on Facebook, etc., and all the links into the technoverse that you, Julia, you're very proficient at.
Yes, somehow it became my job.
Became your part of your work. Yes. Now, for more details, you can go to our Facebook site. And what's your site?
Ours is www.newmelbournebrowncoats.com.
Cool. And that's good night from me and Sci-Fi and Squeam. Thanks again, guys, for coming on.
You're listening to Sci-Fi Scream 94.9. This is Russell Edgington, the Vampire King of Mississippi. Be very careful and lock your doors.
Sci-Fi and Scream was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Scream, or check out joy.org.au.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.